Tonight, I ask that you get your Bibles and let's turn to Isaiah in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And to briefly let you understand where I come across this passage and why I come across this passage is that in this Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, is the verse that was quoted by John the Baptist. If I were to quickly just turn back while you're looking to Isaiah, I will quote that passage from John. When they ask him, well, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Are you this? Are you that? He says, no. Verse 23 of chapter 1 of John, John the Baptist said this morning, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And he quoted, as the prophet Isaiah said. And so that passage comes from this chapter of Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3. But tonight, I'm going to, before we read, this is a lengthy passage of 31 verses, and I'm going to open with prayer first, and then we're going to work our way down through this passage of Scripture. And I want you to see how wonderful and beautiful this is and how it portrays so clearly who John the Baptist is identifying and reminding the children of Israel. The message that he is proclaiming is that, look, this is God. This is who we've been looking for. The one is coming, which is Jesus Christ. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin to take a look at this passage. Dear Lord God, tonight we again thank you for your many blessings. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And God, tonight I just pray that as we examine this passage of Scripture tonight, that you speak to our hearts. Lord God, it brought me so much comfort this week, and God, I just pray that it would help us understand who you really are. And God, Lord, that as your children, that we have nothing to fear, that your hand of protection is on us. You've created everything. Everything only exists for your purposes and for your glory. And God, we would just ask that as we pray tonight with Miss Linda, and Lord, as we continue, God, as a church to try to move forward, God, that we would understand that we are only here for you. And God, that we love you and we desire to know you. And Lord, we just ask that you'd work in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I think it is very fair to say that John the Baptist, when he quoted verse 3 of chapter 40, he was fully aware of what was going on in that passage of Scripture. And so anytime we see a New Testament figure, whether it's Jesus Christ, whether it's one of the disciples, one of the apostles, any time that they make reference to an Old Testament passage, then we can understand that that Old Testament passage is a fulfillment in the New Testament, meaning they're citing this passage saying, look, that happened in the old, that was prophesied, what Isaiah said, I am he, I am the one who is coming to make straight the way of the Lord. I'm coming to proclaim that this is the day of the Lord. And so when we go back in time and when we look at what Isaiah is actually talking about here in chapter 40, he is talking about the deliverance of the children of Israel. They are in Babylonian captivity at this moment. And all through the Old Testament, we can read through the Kings, the books of the Kings and the Chronicles, and we can see that what God would raise up a man that was faithful and was true in his sight, and Israel would turn and they would be successful. And then it would say, then there was a king that would come and he was wicked. And then they would fall into what? Bondage. And they would be defeated by enemies. And it was just this continual cycle of God's children being obedient unto him and thriving and being successful. And then periods of time of disobedience where they were punished and suffered for their sins. And I would say that that gives us a good example about our modern day lives, because when we are not obedient to God, even as His children, even though we know we're protected, we know we're saved, we know that there's no one who can pluck us from His hand, but when we are disobedient, this world, there's consequences to our sin. I mean, we find ourselves in situations where our joy maybe is taken. But in this passage of Scripture tonight, I want us to see our God. And that the Lord, which is the Jesus Christ of the New Testament that John the Baptist was mentioning this morning, is the Lord that we see here, who is the everlasting God, the Creator of everything. So keep those things in mind as we read through this passage. Let's begin there in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice, here's the voice passage, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Now this passage is talking about children of Israel making their way back to Jerusalem. This is the idea that God is going to make a path, make a way for them to go back into the promised land, into the promise that He has given them. And so that passage there in verse 4, every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground or the crooked ground or crooked way. It's the same idea. It's this rugged terrain of Jerusalem, this rocky, hilly, bumpy, travely road. I mean, this, we would think, man, just a tough path to have to walk. John the Baptist is saying that, listen, the Lord is making a way, a straight path, an easy path. He's going to remove the hills and the mountains. He's going to take out the low valleys, and He's going to take away all those hindrances that prevents you from being where He would have you to be. He's going to make the way of the Lord. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's saying that one day He will be revealed. John the Baptist was saying, I am the one who is coming to reveal Him. Verse 6, a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all His beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. Isaiah is saying, there's a voice that's telling him to go and cry. John the Baptist was the voice that, oh, I'm just one crying in the wilderness. And why am I crying in the wilderness? I mean, Lord, I'm just, all flesh is just like grass. It's nothing to it. Man, it's beautiful one day, but then one day it just fades away. Listen, our life is nothing on this earth, is it? It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. It's temporary. The things of this world are not everlasting. They are not eternal. But what is, verse 8 said, what, the end of that, but the word of our God will stand forever. So that is kind of correlates with what we said this morning. So that message is we're just to go and we're just the one to be the witness, to help people understand there was a time that we didn't know who Jesus Christ was, but now we do know who He is, and we're hoping that we can help you see Him through us. Because His Word stands forever, and His Word says that when He is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. And we're going to see that in this passage. Verse 9, this is this message, or what He would have him to declare. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. And as we've studied in the Psalms Wednesday, Zion can be considered God's people, the place of God, the children of God. Go up onto a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift up, lift it up. Fear not, says the cities of Judah. See if we can see any similarities here. Behold your God. What did we say this morning? Behold the Lamb of God. Go up high. Go out. Let your voice ring out. Make straight the way of the Lord. The day of the Lord is at hand. Proclaim, behold your God. That is the message for us. Behold the Lord comes with might. The Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. Verse 11, a beautiful verse. He, who is this? This is the Lord, the God that is speaking, the one who is coming to make the way straight. Verse 11, He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. We ever heard of a shepherd before in the New Testament? I am the shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the great shepherd, and I tend to my sheep. And we see this picture of one that is coming like a shepherd that will tenderly gather the little lambs in His arms and the young ones and the ones that maybe are having trouble keeping up, and He will gather them and He'll pull them. And then, I mean, something as simple as a shepherd and a lamb there that's with young, that may be again struggling behind, that He comes and He bears them up, making sure that there are none left behind. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Verse 12, we see His almighty power in these next few verses, verses 12 through 17. I mean, again, these are attributes of God. This shows who we are serving. This shows who we can count on in our time of distress. Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him His counsel? Whom did He consult? And who made Him understand? Who taught Him the path of justice and taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the coastlands or the isles like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before Him. They are accounted by Him as less than nothing and emptiness. Man, we see in verses 12 and 13 this idea. Who has measured? The idea that God can, in the palm of His hand, measure the waters of the earth and the deepness and the depths of the seas would just be like a glass of water, if you will, in our hand. Who's marked off the heavens? I meant the span of the galaxies. And man, we've got satellites and telescopes that can see as far as the eye can see, and it's never ending. We can't say, yes, there's the end. No. The dust of the earth, in a measure, weighed the mountains on the scale. This imagery of God the Creator that could simply take Mount Everest, the largest, highest peak known to man, and just put it on a scale as if He's weighing something to be measured. Some sugar for some chocolate brownies. I had some today. It was good. Can you imagine? Listen to that. I mean, just simply placing the mountains on scales or the hills in a balance. What man shows Him counsel? He's saying, what can God learn from man? And that is the perspective that we must all understand, is that as He goes on here, that when we compare ourselves to the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, we're nothing more than a drop in a bucket. I mean, we've heard that. He's saying that the nations are just like a drop from a bucket, and He takes up the coastlands like fine dust. I mean, imagine all the beaches and the sands and all these coastline and thousands of grains of sand that cover our shorelines all over the earth. It's just like a little bit of fine dust, a little bit of leftover, maybe some something on the coffee table that hasn't been polished off in a couple of weeks. You know, just like it's nothing. See, all the nations are nothing before Him. They are accounted by Him as less than nothing in emptiness. Our God doesn't bow down to anyone. And as a believer, we can have faith that when He tells us and when He shows us and when He teaches something in His Word, that we're not depending on the nations of this earth to carry it out. I'm not depending on a voted in a member of office to hopefully allow God's plan to take place. That's not how God works. God doesn't ask counsel of us. He doesn't come to us and say, well, I'm having trouble figuring this out. Can you please give me some advice? No, that is not our God. Verse 18, we see this imagery of idolatry. Well, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with Him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with his gold, and he casts for it silver change. Who is too impoverished for an offering, chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. I talk with some who have been overseas in mission work and speak of going in maybe a little gift shop. And the testimony of one pastor was that he went in there and he saw this little, I guess you could say, decorative doll. It was something, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was carved out of wood or I don't know the exact details, but it was some figure of some type of man or doll. And he thought that it was interesting, and he thought that it would be a great souvenir, and he went and he picked it up. This was a pastor, a minister on mission work there. And he went and he took it up to the counter, and the merchant or whoever the owner of the business was, he more or less told him, no, you don't want that. And he said, yeah, I want it. I saw it. I liked it. That's why I'm sitting it here. You know, it's something to take home. And he could tell that he wasn't from around there. I mean, he knew that he was visiting, he was a foreigner, and he knew that he was a minister and that he was on mission. And he said, no, you don't understand. That's our God. Can you imagine? I can't remember the value of this God, but I mean, it was just minuscule. We would say, let's just say a dollar. This God of theirs who is been simply made from a piece of wood, carved out. They have shelves full of them that they can sell for basically pennies. How blind do you have to be as a human being to think that something you can make with your hands, carved from a piece of wood, can deliver you from anything, can be there for you for anything? That's what he's saying here. I mean, man, the craftsman gold, even a goldsmith. I mean, I maybe could see something, you know, precious and something beautiful, but something that's just cheap and inexpensive and everybody has one, and as long as you go buy one from the store, everything's fine. See, we've got a false view of who God is. Verse 21, he talks about being there from the beginning. He talks about, again, the greatness and majesty of God. Verse 21, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. He's saying, haven't you heard? Don't you know the story from the very beginning? The Creator? The One who spoke things into existence? He sits in the heavens and He looks upon us, and we are nothing more than a grasshopper. Man. Just think about that. I don't really like to be considered a grasshopper, you know? Kind of feel like I've accomplished a little bit more than that in my life. But God is saying, and Isaiah the prophet is speaking here, I mean, compared to God, I mean, we're nothing more than just a little small insect. Liable to get swallowed up by a little toad frog over there in the corner, you know? And again, this imagery, He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. The psalm, we talked about how God has made the sun as if it's cascades, and when it goes down at night, it enters its chamber, it enters its tent, it enters its dwelling place, and each morning it's like the sun is walking out from the chambers. The curtains are drawn back, and slowly but surely the light and the sun and the comes through each and every day in this glory and this beauty and this majesty. Verse 24, speaking of those rulers, scarcely are they planted and scarcely sown and scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. Meaning, they don't have anything. There's not anything there when God blows on them and they wither in the tempest or the whirlwinds or the wind comes through and carries them off like stubble. He's comparing the greatest rulers, the majesties, the princes, all these kings and all these powers and all these people, the principalities of darkness that fight against us today in our spiritual life, our enemies that come against us. He's saying that they're nothing more than just a little old plant that has withered, and I meant just a puff. I don't even know what you call them, but I think of the little weed, you know, with all the little seeds on there, you know, you can go and pick it and, man, you just puff on it and they just go all scatter all over. You know, I have that imagery. That when He blows on them, the tempest, the whirlwind just carries them away. I mean, they just disintegrate. They just go away into nothing. Verse 25, now we see the holiness and we see the greatness. Verse 25, to whom then will you compare me? This is God. Who are you going to compare me with? That I should be like Him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. He's talking about His children. Amen. He's talking about His sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I know my sheep by name. You see, the picture of this shepherd that's going and tending his sheep. And then we see this is the one. He is the one who brings out their host by number. He draws up the children. And we didn't study, but in that passage, the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that John the Baptist, his message, when we get more detail about that, John the Baptist comes and he's preaching this message of repentance for sins. And the Israelites say this. They say, well, John the Baptist, hey, look, we're Abraham's seed. We're from Abraham. And do you know what John the Baptist said? He said, God can call up the seed from these stones. God can make children of His out of these stones here. Don't think you have any special authority because you've been born of the seed. You're in the lineage. Listen, without repentance, without burden and brokenness, without the Holy Spirit to regenerate you, no matter how hard you try to keep the law, he's saying that seed of Abraham is nothing. God can call up the seed of Abraham from these stones on the ground. That is the God that we're speaking of. And then we see here this image that He who brings out their host by number, the shepherd who is gathering the sheep, He calls them all by name. One day He called me, hey Brandon, do you see me? Look at me. Behold me. And man, when I looked upon Him and when I believed in Him and when I saw Him and when I received Him, I mean, all these things are just, it's magnificent when you think about that He has called you out by name and the greatness of His might and His strength and His power, and there's not one missing. There is no sheep left behind. He leaves the 99 to go and get the one, doesn't He? Does that give you confidence in salvation? Amen. I mean, it does to me. It does to me because I think the God who has created the heaven and earth, if He is capable of doing those things, I believe that He can keep me in His hand, just like He says. Amen. And then this is a question we see in verse 27, one that all of us is asked. These are the children of Israel. And He's saying, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? Talking of God's people, His seed, His lineage. He says, my children, why do you call out and say that my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is discarded by my God? He's saying, why do you call out to me and say, oh God, I mean, have you forgotten about me? Oh, let's look here in these last few verses. Oh, I can almost just see God coming to us in a gentle, comforting, loving voice saying these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall and be exhausted. But, I love this last verse, a verse that's going to be most familiar, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. Man, what a beautiful promise. So we see that this passage of Scripture opens with comfort. Verse 1 was comfort. I want to give comfort to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry unto her. John the Baptist was sent to go and to cry out a voice. Go and plead. You and I today, we're to go out and we're to plead and we're to cry out and we're to minister. And what is that message? That message is verse 31. Listen, that you won't grow weary. If you put your trust and faith in the Lord, if you look to Him, He renews your strength. When it feels like the weight of the world is on you, when your enemies are all around, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the Almighty, everlasting, who can weigh the mountains on the scales, and He holds all the oceans deeps in His hands. This same God is the one who's going to come. He's going to renew you. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you courage. He's going to give you power, faith, that you're going to soar like an eagle. I mean, on top of the world, that's what He's saying. I mean, you're going to just feel like you're just chasing the wind. No cares, no burdens, no worries. You're not going to be down in the valley. You're not going to be crying and moaning. No, you're going to be lifted up high and soaring. Looking down, everything will be beneath you. There is nothing that can overcome you. And we will not grow weary. And we will not faint in our walk with Him. Now I'm going to tell you, church, you say, well, brother, I don't know if I can agree with that because I get very weary. And we do. We do. But why? Why do we get weary? Why do we grow weak? Why do we get disheartened? Because we forget who God is, if we're just really honest. We forget who God is. We look at ourselves, we look at our circumstances, and we think, oh man, how am I ever going to work this out? And man, we try to get out a 15-page plan of events. Well, if this happens, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and that, and that. And man, we run ourselves ragged, and we chase ourselves. We're growing weary because we're like the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness. We're just making passes, making loops all the time. God is saying, listen, I'm here. I'm here. Would you stop? Would you look to me? Would you turn to me? Oh, Lord, I will when I get time, but I don't have time. Now I got to do this and I got to do that, Lord. And God, I know you are, but man, you just don't understand. And man, we run and we get weary and we faint because we're running in our own strength, trying to correct things and by our own power and by our own ways. And just like these idols, this God, I mean, we treat God as if He's just this man-made thing or this something that I know He's there and I know if I go to Him, you know, I might. But man, when we see Him high and lifted up, when we behold the Lamb of God, when we see Jesus Christ, the one that John the Baptist foretold, the one who's going to make that way to God, He's going to bring us to Him. We ain't going to have to go up the mountain. We're not going to have to go down in the valley. He's going to make the way easy. You say, but I thought it said that the Lord's going to be narrow and hard is the way. Very few will find it. It's true. It's true because you know why? Because we have to die to self to walk that road. Amen. We've got to give up the things, the desires of our heart. We've got to give up all those things. Excuse me, but can I tell you, once you do, there is never a day that you regret it. Ever. Amen. Ever. I'm telling you that yes, in moments of weakness and moments of times of me doing what I want to do, I might have thought, well, man, you know, that was fun. I went here and I did this or I did that. Don't have to be bad. Maybe the Lord just wanted you to go, hey, would you go share the gospel with so-and-so? Well, Lord, you know, I really want to go shopping this evening. I'll do that next week. And we go, maybe we go shopping and we don't listen to what the Lord has told us to do. And then we get home and, man, you know, we look at what we did, all we really did was went and maybe ate a nice meal and went and looked around and walked a little while. But then, you know, we get that conviction that, man, you know, that's really nothing compared to somebody's eternity. That's really nothing compared to going and showing somebody that I care. I think I would have really got a lot more out of my day if I'd have went and just witnessed, ministered to someone in need who was hurting. You see, we've got to understand that the only way we're not going to get weary is when we are running in the strength of the Lord. Amen. And when we're running towards Him and not away from Him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord God, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, God, for just beautiful weather. As we've studied here in Isaiah 40 tonight, God, we see You as the Almighty Creator, Lord God, just awesome, beautiful language that's used to describe Your majesty, Your power. God, that You just hold the heavens and the earth and everything that's around us is just in the palm of Your hand. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We humble ourselves before You, dear God, because we understand, Lord God, that You desire and You need nothing of us. And Lord, even though we're like tiny insects, dear God, that You love us and You desire to know us and all of this is done for Your glory. Lord, again, I ask for Miss Linda tonight. Lord, we just pray, God, in faith that You would touch her. And Lord God, we pray that Your will be done, not our will. But Lord God, whatever Your purpose is, we know that it's for You and it's for Your glory. And God, Lord, we're praying that God, they go and they find nothing in these exams. And Lord, when that happens, we're going to praise You. And we're going to glorify the name of God. Lord, be with us as we leave this place tonight. God, I'd ask You that You'd guide each and every one of us, Lord, that You'd give us safe traveling grace. God, we love You. Protect us as our shepherd this week as we walk in this world of darkness. We ask that You'd guide our steps. And Lord God, that eventually, one day, Lord, that You'd lead us home to glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.